It's Wisecracking with Winter.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a day that ends in Y. It's time for Wisecracking with Winter.
I'd rather watch Jell-O get hard.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the Big Ireland episode. Fond of that one. That one did very well in the old charts. Topping over 100 downloads, which is not that impressive if you're a big show, but if you're an indie show like us, it's pretty important.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Right.
Anyway, we learned a lot of interesting new words on that show. Right, producer Paul, who's in studio with me?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. We learned about gobshite. We learned about wanker. What was the other one?
Cleveland Steamer?
No, not Cleveland Steamer.
Jammy Monster?
Jammy Bastard? Was
Jammy
that?
Bastard.
Yeah, Jammy Bastard.
That's it.
Yeah, we learned a lot of interesting, fun, new Irish words to say.
Yeah, so whether you speak Irish or not, you can kind of work those words into your everyday routine.
And Veronica's here,
you
too.
You have a little bit of Irish in you.
Right.
I am.
Say hello.
Hello.
So I have the big three in studio. I have producer Paul, I have Veronica, and I have myself. And we do want to put out a special message before we start the show. Don't kill yourself. The end.
What?
Moving along.
Where did that come from?
What?
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I just thought we should start the show with saying something positive. If you're out there and you're depressed, get help and don't kill yourself, right?
Yeah.
Let's spin that and say you have a lot to live for. So, you know, we all care about you.
Yeah.
I don't care about everybody. But I don't want you to kill yourselves either. So don't commit suicide from your friends at Wisecracking with Winter. Isn't that a nice message? See, Veronica and I are sharing a mic because producer Paul is sucking up one all to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're ready to talk, you just give me a tippy tap on the leg and then pull the mic over to you.
There you go.
I don't like having to take turns.
Sometimes we need to take turns because that way everybody wins.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And everybody will get a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Next topic.
So we decided to do a nice, light, fun, airy kind of show today.
Yeah, no shit.
We're each going to pick a show that we think you should be watching and that the show is available online somewhere. It might not be a brand new show, but you may be able to find it on Hulu or Netflix or one of the other dozen.
How about regular TV?
Or regular TV, if you have regular TV.
What's
boomer.
That?
Regular TV is what boomers use.
Oh. Oh, that's what I have.
Yeah. So, producer Paul, do you want to go first?
Absolutely not.
Do you want me to go first?
No, no.
Well, I'm going to. The show that you have to be watching out there above all others is... It's in a sealed envelope. My 500-pound life.
Holy shucks!
Or 600.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. My 500-pound life on the Learning Channel is must-see television. It's action-packed. It's fun for the whole family. And every show has a good message. Why do you eat so much? Because if you eat too much, you end up being a 500-pounder, and you're stuck in your house. And usually always the spouse is, like, super thin.
The one you made me watch, they were both gigantic. And I fell asleep on the couch because it was that horrible.
It was that enthralling. It's my 600-pound life, right? It's not my 500-pound life.
I have no idea. I've never made it through a whole episode.
It's my 600-pound life. Producer Paul, have you watched it?
I haven't even started an episode.
If you want a romantic night in with the wife, and you want to feel great about your weight, whatever it is, watch my 600-pound life. Because it's always the same thing. Every episode's like a little over an hour because it chronicles their life for about almost a year. So it starts at super fat and gets to not as fat like 8 months later.
But still pretty fat, probably. I mean, you're starting that.
Yeah, they're still pretty fat. I mean, they're still like 400 pounds. But, you know, they lose like... A lot of them are over 700 pounds.
Man, that's a lot to lose.
It is a lot to lose.
Good for them.
It's a lot to love. You should see...
What do you find to be usually the stars? Would you call them the stars? The subjects?
Subjects.
What do you find to be their biggest motivation? Is that the... foreign appearing doctor asking why you eat so much?
Yeah.
I think,
is he a foreigner?
I think he's from Iran originally, but he lives in Houston.
I don't mean it as a pejorative.
Yes, you do mean it as a pejorative, whatever that means.
I should have said that doctor who either lives in another country or is an immigrant to our country. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Well,
Just basing everything I know on the show from the magnet you have on your fridge of the doctor that says, why you eat so much?
That's right.
Yeah. What?
So here's the thing. So I think the thing that drives them to get out of, because most of them just lay on a mattress with a sheet all day. And then their spouse or mother or somebody, some sort of caregiver comes in. And like the beginning of the show is always the worst because that's when they're usually naked.
Sign me up for that.
And whoever the caregiver is has to usually help them bathe, and then they always end up wiping their ass after they go poo because these people can't reach it. And then they help clean their folds.
Goddamn right.
And this is what you're watching. This is what you're recommending.
I like it. And then, so they help them get clean. And then there's usually a big meal that follows where the super overweight person will send the thin one out. And the thin one is always an enabler. So they'll run to Taco Bell or Burger King and they just come back with mountains of food. And then the cameras stay on it of these people just putting away all this food, right? And then, you know, usually after they get done, there's some tears. There's some crying. And they're like, I got to do something about my weight. I don't know what to do. I got to call his nickname is Dr. No. Because his Iranian name is hard to pronounce. So they have to find a way to get to Houston. And a lot of these people don't live in Houston. So some of them have to rent like a flatbed truck. Or
what?
Yeah, they rent like a flatbed truck or they'll rent like a box truck and they ride in the back of it to Houston because they can't fly because they weigh too much.
Can't they buy two seats or?
They would need like three seats. There was one episode where one woman had three seats.
Yeah.
And her husband had to sit in the other row. He was like 120 pounds and she was like 715 pounds.
Oh, man.
He had to sit behind her. So they get down there, right? And then Dr. No comes in. He's like, I know you want to lose a weight, but you have to show me that you can lose at least 60 pounds. And then...
So now he's in the mafia also?
No, it's the way he talks because he's from Iran. You have to lose 60 pounds to show me you're serious about this program, and then I'll do the weight loss surgery. And then, you know, they usually lose the weight. Or more. They'll lose like 100 pounds if they're just eating right for like a few weeks. They usually come back. He does the surgery, weight loss surgery on them. 4 months of the aftermath of that, of, you know, how much weight do they lose or do they fall, you know, or do they fall back into their old habits? And it's just really interesting and I highly recommend it. So that one is my pick, I suppose.
It's BS.
Do you want to go next, Veronica, with your pick?
Paul, are you ready with your pick, or do you want me to go next?
Oh, you go right ahead.
Okay. So the show that I would pick just been released, so it's pretty brand spanking new. For those people who actually watch real TV, you can also find it on Hulu. It's on NBC, and it's called Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
You've only seen like one episode of that.
I've seen two episodes.
Two episodes.
And so now is
a commercial.
Now is the time to be checking it out.
Oh my God.
What?
You're supposed to pick.
Ding, ding, ding.
You're supposed to pick like a favorite show that you really like.
I really like this show.
You can like the show, that's fine, but there's only been two episodes of it.
And that's how wonderful it is. Everybody should be checking it out.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. And I met your cousin. Super nice guy. And the show, I'm sure
So are we putting some nepotism in here now?
There's no nepotism, but it's your cousin. There's only been two episodes.
Cousin? Who?
Her cousin produces the show.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I saw a trailer for that, and I thought it looked like garbage.
Oh, gosh.
But I haven't seen it.
It's actually really good. And while we were sitting here listening to Mike drone on about really, really fat people and how they have to have other people wipe their butts, I was doing a little bit of research. And here it says that the Rotten Tomatoes percentage is 76%. So it's getting great reviews. Have we checked my 600-pound life to see what percentage we've got on there?
I don't care what people say. I love
it. Hey, producer Paul, can you do some research for me? And let me know. And while you're doing that research, I will tell you, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Tell us more about it.
It's very different. It's not like something you're going to see places, but it's about Zoe, and it's some weird thing happens. She's getting like an MRI or something, and some big thing happens, and all of a sudden she can hear people's thoughts, but it's in music. So
I remember what happened.
You need to talk into the mic or nobody can hear you.
They can hear me. I saw that first episode with you because I remember you said, hey, look, it's my cousin's show and we should watch it. And I said, you're right. We should check out his show. And we watched it. She was getting a brain scan and there was a problem with the machine. And for some reason, she develed some sort of special ability to read people's minds through music.
That is correct.
And it's now your most favorite show after two episodes.
I watched a new episode the other night while you were out doing karaoke with producer Paul and getting shit-faced. Walking around Northeast Minneapolis. I sat at home and watched a nice, wholesome family show. Right? It was great.
What's that on, ABC?
It is on NBC. Everybody really needs to check it out. It has some great stars in it.
Sundays at 9 in the morning?
Sundays at 8 p.m. We've got Jane Levy in it. We have Lauren Graham. We know who Lauren Graham is.
No.
Oh, Gilmore Girls. Peter Gallagher is in it.
What was he in?
My God. That's Sandy Cohen from the OC. And isn't it?
We've got Mary Steenburgen in it also.
Semi-decent stuff.
Y'all should really check it out. Did you do that research, Paul? What is that?
Well, I didn't find a Rotten Tomatoes score, but I did on IMDb.com find Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist currently ranked a 7.5 out of 10.
It is 7.5 out of 10.
And my 600-pound life, fittingly, now you got to remember, it's 600-pound. It's not 700-pound.
Right.
600-pound, it has a 6.6 rating.
So right now.
So it's like alliterative.
92% of the people on Google love it.
And most of those people weigh at least 900 pounds.
Yeah, because
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't have anything to say. Go check out Zoe's. Watch it next Sunday, and then you can send us a message and let me know how much you love it. Whose pick is better so far? Is it mine, or is it?
That's not a pick. That is a plug. There's a difference.
It's a pick.
It's a plug.
It's my favorite.
It's a plug. Nobody has a favorite show after two episodes.
I'm going to get a plug, and I'm going to stick it in your mouth.
Okay, you got the commercial out. We're all going to watch Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. We can't wait. Now pick the show that you think is the most.
That was my choice. It's Producer Paul's turn.
That can't be your choice.
My body, my choice.
What's your most favorite show?
You know what my favorite show is? What's my favorite show?
It's The Ranch. So why aren't you plugging The Ranch, which is your real favorite show?
Actually, my real favorite show is probably Law and Order SVU. But The Ranch is also good.
Okay, tell us about why we should watch The Ranch.
I don't know. We should watch Zoe's. It's my favorite. The Ranch, you just want me to talk about The Ranch because it's a nice, wholesome Republican show. And you just want to make sure that we're making sure that,
is that why I don't
you
like
can
it?
Put down my pick because you don't like it.
I didn't know it was a Republican show.
It isn't.
I mean, I know it's...
There is a lot of... there are a lot of jokes that are pro-Bushes or Reagan.
I like Bushes.
And there are a lot of jokes against Clinton. It is more of a conservative-based TV show.
Is that still on?
The Ranch. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, I think
season,
I watched...
Season, what, 5, 7 just came out.
Jeez.
Recently, I think I watched it in a day and a half or two.
I think I watched about a season and a half of it.
Yeah.
And I got tired of Kelso and Hyde not being Kelso and Hyde anymore.
Well, one of them's off the show for some sort of sexual misconduct.
Is that Kelso or Hyde?
Hyde, right? I don't know. I don't remember which one was which.
I mean, the whole show, their characters are all about sexual misconduct, so why should they be removed from the show?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to put in there?
Oh, because the show's not real life.
It isn't real life.
It was for sexual misconduct in real life.
I'm
I
guessing
it.
My 600.
What's the show about?
It's about people who live in Bodunk, Colorado. And small town rancher life, farm life, and how they make things work. The old guy and his wife are divorced, and they have two kids, and they're ranchers. And, you know, they hang out at bars, and they drink a lot, and they raise cattle. The end.
Speaking of drink, I need another drink. How about you, old Mike?
Sure, I can do one more beer because I'm not driving and I'm doing a show. If I wasn't doing a podcast, though, I wouldn't be drinking another beer because that's irresponsible. The Ranch sounds perfect. It sounds so much better than my 600-pound life. I can't believe it.
Well, that's because it was my second choice. Even my second choice is better than your first
now,
choice.
You took cheap shots at my show.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to take cheap shots at your show.
Go for it.
Your show is all that 70s show castoffs telling Democrat jokes.
Right. And just like every other show is somebody's castoff telling Republican jokes.
I disagree with that. You've told me before that this show needs to exist because every other show takes jabs at the Republican Party and the conservative lifestyle.
Have I said every other show?
Okay. The majority of other shows.
Okay, true.
Take jabs at the Republican Party, which I do not see.
Okay.
Aside from late night talk shows.
Okay.
That do it, you know, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Nauseatingly. So The Ranch, which I think it could be a great show. Not a good show. A great show.
Now, let's just remember that I didn't pick this one for me. You picked this for me.
I know. You can't just plug your cousin's show and move on. That's cheating. So, thank you for the beer, Paul. But I'm going to say, it could have been a great show because you have Sam Elliott. Awesome actor. Awesome. You have...
And oh, what a voice.
And you have Ashton Kutcher, great comedic actor.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had, what was the other guy from 70s show?
Hyde.
You have Hyde.
Yes.
Nobody knows his real name.
It could have been a good premise. You know, they're out there ranching and working. But instead, they just make a lot of cheeseball like government jokes all the time and Democrat jokes all the time. That
like, and that hurts like your feelings,
jokes.
Huh?
No, there's like they just don't fit in anywhere. There's no reason to even make the jokes. Mm. They're just making the jokes to try to attract the conservatives and the Republicans to the show.
And I'm looking at it right now, and the IMDb score for this
is but it's high
7.5.
Like I said, it. There's I've watched episodes of it where I was really entertained. I'm like, this is a good storyline.
And by the way, his name's Danny Masterson. Hyde.
It was a good storyline. It was, you know, interesting characters. I felt for the people on the show. I cared about the story. But then they just make dumb political jokes out of nowhere that don't even fit in with the damn story. They're just making the jokes.
I think that it does fit in with the story because that's part of the storyline is Sam Elliott is a hardcore, old-fashioned Republican.
What does that have to do? No, wait. What does that have to
I want to talk to you.
You will. What does that have
to come on over here.
No.
I'll share.
What does Sam Elliott's personal political leanings have to do with the character on the show? That's not him.
Okay, no, you're right. And I don't know what Sam Elliott's personal political leanings are because he's not one of those people that just goes out and stands on his soapbox and tells everybody.
What about the memes on Facebook?
I don't know.
There's all these Sam Elliott.
Right, because he plays a part on...
I thought you just said that Sam Elliott in real life was like a hardcore old school Republican.
I have no idea what he is.
Oh, I'm sorry that I didn't hear you right.
What? You're not listening to me again?
I just didn't hear you. Mm-hmm. Right.
No, that's what I heard too, but you must have meant just his character.
Right, his character plays.
I was going to say, I mean, yeah.
I don't know what he is. I don't know
so
what he
is. So it turns out I was listening. I did hear you right.
Oh.
But see, that's the only stumbling point of the entire show. Are the cheesy jokes that don't fit.
Okay.
If they didn't make the cheesy, you know, political jokes that don't fit with the canned laughter on top of it.
Oh, so now we're giving two things.
Well, I don't like canned laughter on any show.
Well, I don't like Lost in Space, but I've had to sit there and watch that.
There's no canned laughter, is there?
I don't care. It's still retarded. Stupid. I shouldn't have said that.
No, it's retarded.
It's just not a very...
It's retarded in space.
Yeah.
It's developmentally disabled.
That's okay. Much better. Good job.
That's right. So anyway, I'm not going to rant all night about the ranch.
Well, that's a good idea.
But that
you
was
shouldn't.
That was my one thing that stopped me from really falling in love with the show was the...
It didn't lean your way politically.
No, it just... if they were Democrat jokes being
then
made,
you would be laughing because I have heard you watching late night TV and you're like, oh, did you
but
hear that?
That's late night topical TV. It's not situation comedy.
Well, but
right?
You don't have to watch it.
I want to like The Ranch.
But you don't because you're spending all this time on it.
I don't like it because of the dumb jokes that don't fit. If they cut them out.
Wait, time out. You don't like a comedy because of dumb jokes that don't fit. But yet... How many people are listening to this podcast?
Too many.
Right. Because of the dumb jokes that don't fit.
Bing, bang, bing.
I'm not making Republican jokes every 5 seconds to try to get more Democrats to listen. I'm not telling, you know, Republican joke or, you know, vice versa. I don't care about that. But this show specifically goes after the
Republicans.
It goes after the Democrats to try to get more Republicans to watch.
Nobody watches. Everybody listens.
I'm talking about The Ranch.
Oh. Well, you got to do what you got to do.
And that's why I don't like the show, because they're only doing it to get Republicans to watch. It doesn't fit with the show at all.
Okay.
Do you think that maybe it'll be picked up on Fox News next year, Mike?
No. I think it's going to stay on Netflix because it's a huge hit.
It is. But... You know, everybody has their chance to voice their opinions. I am about 99.9% positive that when I'm not on the show, it leans left.
I'd say it leans in the middle, and it depends what's in the news. Then it'll lean one way or the other.
Hmm.
The show does not have a political leaning It's just in the middle.
No, it's not.
And I think we're about to get all, like, political or something. As if we hadn't already, but, I mean, I think that if you're a Trump supporter, Vicky, are you a Trump supporter?
I think that who I support is not anybody's business but my own.
I agree.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't want to go the wrong way with my comments or offend you in the wrong way if you were a big Trump person. But I think to someone who does support Donald Trump, I think it's hard not to see the whole world as leaning left when you see the world pointing out the absolute lunacy that is the Trump presidency. And so I think that, you know, there is no middle anymore. You have to pick a side, but I'm just saying that.
But the thing is, you don't have to pick a side. I think that the problem with this nation is everybody has to pick a side. The people that lean left are so far left because they don't want to be considered right. And the people that are right are so far right because they don't want to be considered left. And everybody has to choose, and you shouldn't have to.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And let me rephrase. I didn't mean that people should have to choose, but that's kind of the society we have now, that you're either for Trump or you're against Trump. You're either a liberal or you're a conservative. Like, if you're in the middle, you know, people are always looking to assign you to one side or the other.
So I will tell you,
based on whether you're agreeing with them more often or not.
I think that Trump has done some pretty awful things, but I think he has also done some great things. So I don't know that there's ever been a perfect president ever. I don't think that there's anybody that everybody can agree with. But politically, the way I lean, I think he has done some okay things. And I think that
he's an awful, despicable, garbage human being.
But Clinton was not, right?
No ethics.
Getting a blowjob in the Oval Office, it's okay.
It's a lot better than... But, I mean, it's not about Trump's policies for me, generally speaking. I don't disagree with everything that he stands for or he's pushed policy-wise. I just think he's kind of an idiot and conducts himself in the least professional way I've ever seen. Say, for example, like Marco Rubio was president.
Yeah, we all love Rubio because he has huge hands.
Yes, that's a good reason. But I mean, if he was doing the same thing Trump's doing policy-wise, I wouldn't be like, oh, Marco Rubio is like the worst human being ever. I'd just say, well, yeah, I probably disagree with a lot of this stuff. Might vote for somebody else. But, you know, if there's one, like...
Where's Marco Rubio from again?
Florida?
I have on good authority. I once stopped at a truck stop in a Florida bathroom, and somebody had written on the wall, Mark Rubio is the worst person ever. So, there you go.
But if there's one thing that Donald Trump has, I think we can all agree, positively done for us, it's shown that anybody can one day be president.
You know who I would have liked to have seen was Arnold Schwarzenegger be able to run for president.
Arnold.
I would have voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You know, speaking of Arnold, you know, this is not a television show, but I did see the latest Terminator movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
What's it called again? Terminator Dark Fate?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's worth having your friend spend $6 to...
No, it's not.
...download the rental.
No, it's not. No, it wasn't. I watched it with you. I paid for it, and it's not.
It might not have been worth your $6, but it was worth my $0.
You liked it for $0? It was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was... Yeah, for not paying for it, it was worth spending 2 hours on it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay, so... I need to pick a TV show.
Pick your TV show.
Okay, here's one that I've been watching just recently. I've caught a couple episodes of, and you know how it is with shows these days. You don't have to catch them in the first run. That's the great thing, that you can go back and catch up on so many shows. This one, it's actually a sitcom. It centers on the lives of I don't know if they're an average American family, but it's a professional married couple and their five kids. They live in the state of New York, actually in the largest city, New York City.
Are you talking about The Cosby Show?
Well, yes, it is called The Cosby Show.
Why? Where can you find that? Those are the rules. You should be able to find it somewhere now.
I was actually surprised to see that it was on the other day. I'm not sure. It was on not one of your syndicated cable channels, I believe. So it's originally an NBC product. You can probably find it on the Peacock streaming service.
They have a streaming service?
Yeah, it's called Peacock.
Really?
Yeah. What do you think of that name? Peacock.
I think it's fine. I'm surprised that they're streaming The Cosby Show because of the reason why he went to, you know, prison for roofing women. I guess they're past that if they can turn a profit on the Peacock.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know for sure if it's available on the Peacock. I see an article from May of 2018 indicating that it's still available on Amazon Prime after 1 week after Bill Cosby was found guilty on 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault.
Well, can we let Veronica weigh in on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? Do you think The Cosby Show should be on anymore after what Cosby did?
I think that I grew up with The Cosby Show. And I know that Bill Cosby did something awful, but the show was great. And my dad made me watch the show because of its family morals. So you don't need to pay attention to what he did. You just need to pay attention to what they're teaching in the show, right?
Yeah, true.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I mean, it's just acting, right?
It is just acting. So I think it should stay on. It is available on Amazon Prime Video and on Sling TV. I just looked it up.
Awesome. I mean, it's not really my favorite show right now. But in all seriousness, when I saw that it was on yesterday morning, I was like, oh, The Cosby Show is still on. That's interesting. I hadn't seen it in a while. And so I watched an episode and I thought, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with this being on. It's a good show. It's got good values, good messaging.
But yet Roseanne isn't on it anymore.
And it's fun.
Oh, okay. Now she just said Roseanne isn't on it anymore. But now it's called The Conners.
Yeah.
The old episodes of Roseanne are no longer available, correct?
I didn't know that. Like the classic episodes of Roseanne from the 90s are not on anymore?
I'm going to look it up now.
That's really crazy. Because that was a great show. That was like one of the top 20 sitcoms of all time, if not higher. I can't believe that would not be on the air anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. The headline I got here is that, but of course it's from 2018. It was scrubbed from ABC's website and apps as well as Hulu, but still available on several digital services, including Amazon Prime. But, you know, again, that was from a year and a half ago.
Okay, here's a good question. Do you guys, you two, did you both watch the Roseanne reboot, the reboot season?
I did.
I did not.
Okay, I did. And I thought it was great TV because it was like a small little cross-section of America. It had Roseanne, who was a Trump supporter, and then it had her sister, who was not. And they worked it out on the show and found middle ground and got along just fine.
See,
and it was a great season before, you know, Roseanne said what she said. And they fired her.
What did she say?
I don't even remember.
I don't remember either.
It was something bad enough.
It was racist.
Was it? Oh.
But she wasn't raping people.
No, she wasn't raping anybody. And they still fired her.
To be fair,
is that because she's a woman? Do you think?
It's not as if they're putting Bill Cosby on a TV show right now. They're just playing the old episodes.
Right, but why not play the old Roseanne episodes?
Well, I think they are, but I don't know. Vicky's looking into that, so we'll see what she finds. But yeah, I watched all the new Roseannes because my wife was always a big Roseanne fan. But I gotta say, I thought it was weird that...
They're available on CMT.
CMT. God bless them for putting that on.
Is that country music television?
Yeah. Yeah. They scooped up all the Roseanne episodes.
Where I think, I don't know, I don't probably watch it, but I don't think they play country music, right? They play isn't that where I used to watch my Dukes of Hazzard reruns?
Yes, that's right.
They now have all the country type shows on CMT.
So it's like TV for country music fans.
No, wait, Roseanne was based in Chicago.
You are correct.
Well,
but so why do we think CMT picked that up?
It was a small town outside of Chicago somewhere.
Right, because they got a great deal on it, maybe.
But see, here's the thing I didn't get when I watched the Roseanne reboot. Like, I don't remember the original Roseanne ever being, overtly political.
No, it wasn't.
So I found it kind of odd that, all of a sudden... But, you know, I mean, I get being topical and saying, hey, let's address, what's going on now with who's in the White House. That's okay, I guess.
It was really good. The whole season was really good. And it's too bad she said what she said or whatever, and she got let go from the show because it was back to being the best show on TV.
You think?
I thought so.
I don't know. I thought ever since the reboot... The one thing that always sticks with me is how, crazy Aunt Jackie is. It's just too much. It's just too much for that character. I'm Aunt Jackie. I'm a total nut. But not really, but just for fun.
And so now with the Connors, have you watched the Connors?
I watched one season of it.
Got to keep watching, even though Roseanne's not there.
Does it have that same mix in it, or is it now all... one-sided?
It's not political at all.
It's
the one season I watched of the Connors after Roseanne got let go.
I've been watching it, and I'd say, depending on how you want to look at it, you could call it political or not. I mean, I don't know that I call it political, but for me, I find it kind of less watchable because it's the storylines always revolve around how the Connors are just being beat down over and over, episode after episode, that there's always something just terrible happening to
them. Yeah, they never do seem to catch a break.
Their lot in life is it's just so low on the totem pole.
Right.
And, I mean, you could ascribe that to, politics and saying that, America is no longer a place where the lower middle class with, less education and less... skills can actually make a decent living and get by. But I don't know. Is that a left-wing perspective or a right-wing perspective? I
think that's an economist perspective. I don't think it's either one.
I don't find it overtly political. I just find it, unbelievable that, any bad thing that could possibly ever happen is, happening to them every week. And I get it's a sitcom, but they're kind of they kind of take it seriously. It's just a little unbelievable. I mean, I know it's bad out there for a lot of people. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, I guess that's what TV does, is it kind of takes what's real and exaggerates it to make it funny.
So is that your pick, the Connors?
No.
Is that your must-see TV? It's not the Cosby Show, is it?
No. Let me see what I can find. I can't even remember what I watch.
What are you looking for?
We just got done watching the Good Place, which
I was
a lot of people
arguing
like.
With a guy on Facebook because he's upset that my daughter wants to be a Navy SEAL when she grows up.
Why is he upset?
Why are you on Facebook in the middle of a show?
Because I was really bored.
You didn't want to listen to about the Connors? You never watched the Connors?
Never watched it.
Oh. Well, why don't you tell us about the argument you're having while Paul decides on his favorite show? You can leave the other person anonymous, and I'm sure they don't listen anyway.
I don't have a clue who the other person is.
Facebook.
I had somebody tag me in an article, a good friend of ours who was in the Navy, who my kids are both friends with. He's a lifter. And he tagged me.
He steals things?
He's a power lifter.
Oh.
And he tagged me in something because the first woman made it through Navy SEAL training. She didn't actually become a SEAL, but she made it through the training. And he tagged me in it saying that he thought that Danica would love to see it. And I commented and I told him that, you know, at 8 years old, she still thinks that's what she wants to do. She was excited to hear about it, but she's even more excited to think that maybe she can still be the first. And some guy...
There already was a woman.
There has never been a woman Navy SEAL. Huh. And some guy jumped all over it saying how the Navy doesn't need female SEALs and she won't be able to make it and women don't belong in there. And so I was just watching everybody else tear him apart.
Oh, so you didn't get involved? You didn't get in the mix?
I just told him that hopefully by the time she was old enough to be a SEAL that he was grown up enough to accept it.
Why wouldn't he be able to accept that anyway? I mean, what's the difference?
I don't know him, so I have no idea. But he's a loser, so I don't know what your name is, Jamal or Jamarian or...
We can give his name out.
Lamar Parks Jr., you're an asshole. The end.
Ouch.
So... Did you pick your show?
I mean, I got a couple I'm contending with here. You know, there's Better Call Saul. That's an obvious good pick, although I'm still catching up on season, is it 4? From last year or 2 years ago or however damn long it's been since it was on. And, you know, new season coming out this Sunday. Of course, you know, that's an obvious pick. I mean, people are going to say, oh, I already know about that show, asshole. Why aren't you telling me about a show I don't know about? It's because I probably haven't watched any shows that you don't know about. How about Billions? Billions on Showtime?
That's one of your personal favorites. Why don't you tell the kids at home what it's about?
Well, Billions has become one of the most enjoyable dramas on television, having populated its voyeuristic world with unsavory quipsters, stealth pop culture junkies, and legit food pornographers. Paul Giamatti plays relentlessly scheming power broker Chuck Rhodes, who matches wits in the sewer that is New York politics with his worthy adversary and frenemy, Bobby Axelrod, a ruthless hedge fund bro played by Damian Lewis. You know Damian Lewis from The Homeland?
What's that show about?
It's about a woman, CIA agent, Carrie Fisher, I think.
What's a CIA agent?
Not going to dignify that question with a response.
You're so annoying.
Who, helps keep America safe from all the would-be terrorists.
I know what Homeland is. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but you know what? That show's not even over, right? There's a new season of Homeland coming out.
It should have ended like 7 years ago.
I know. I was like, I saw like trailers for a new season. I'm like, what? I thought this ended like 7 years ago.
Anyway, so Billions. It has the redhead in it, the ginger.
Damian Lewis.
Yeah, him.
As Bobby Axelrod. You know him from Homeland as, what was his name? Brody. Brody.
I got a 5x8 glossy of Brody on my wall.
Yeah.
So Billions is the way to go.
I got about an episode and a half into Chernobyl, I think.
I love Chernobyl.
Miniseries, somewhat documenting. I mean, it's not a documentary, but it's chronicling the events of the nuclear meltdown in the former Soviet Republic of the Ukraine.
It's a great... I think it won a Golden Globe. Chernobyl.
I believe it did get some awards. How about... if you just want to talk about shows, you just want to... Bing, bang, boom?
We can bing, bang,
boom. See if you've heard of any of these shows or watched them. How about Fleabag? And what I'm looking at right now are like... the top shows on some website. So I'm just kind of running through them. Number 6 on this list is Fleabag, available on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I watched like one episode of that, I think you told me to watch.
Me too. Mike, how many did you get through?
I watched both seasons of it.
Love it?
I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
I made it through one episode. I didn't think it was that wonderful.
No.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge is a force who won lots of Emmys this year, and her one-woman show turned TV fave builds on what made its initial run in 2016 a cult hit. That's Fleabag. What do you love most about it, Mike?
I like the character, and the main character's name is Fleabag.
She's a little dirty, isn't she?
I don't think she's dirty. I think she's a single woman, and all single women that have a lot of sex are considered dirty.
Let's say we made a show, and the show focused on a man, and the first episode is him talking about his first experience doing anal sex.
Right.
Would you call that character dirty?
No, he'd probably be considered a stud. I mean, that's the double standard.
Right.
Was he receiving anal sex, or was he giving?
I in my mind, he was giving, but he was also, you know, straight in my mind. So that is a very good question. What if he was gay and he was receiving? Or what if he wasn't gay and he was just experimenting and he was receiving?
I don't think I'd watch it.
Would you call that character dirty? I think you would.
He would.
I'm still thinking about it. I don't know.
I think you'd also still call it must-watch TV.
I don't know. No, I'd be pretty uncomfortable watching two guys have sex.
Well, no, we weren't talking about watching them have it, just having them talk about it.
I wouldn't even listen to it.
You're uncomfortable with things outside your little box?
I don't think that there should be a problem with it. If we want equal opportunity for everyone, then why can't they discuss it?
Exactly.
Yeah, but I don't have to watch it.
No, but
you really
should bother you?
Give it a chance.
We're not saying that just because.
Why are you so close-minded? I don't want to watch that.
No, jeez.
Who do you sound like? I don't want to watch that.
I think he's morphing into his daddy. The next thing you know, we're not going to get him out of his chair.
I don't want to talk about a guy I don't like.
Heyo.
Wait, you already like your chair.
Zing. Bing, bang, zing.
Bing, bang, bing.
Look at, he's quiet for the first time ever.
Sarcastic comment loading.
I shouldn't be made to sit and watch two guys have sex in order to be considered politically correct
by
mainstream society. I am not going to watch it. Do I condone the lifestyle? Sure. You marry whoever you want. Fuck whoever you want. I don't care, but I don't want to watch it. Right? And if they want to throw me out of the Democratic Party, which I've been pegged by some people as being a part of.
Who have you been pegged by?
What?
I've been pegged by many men.
What?
Can you specifically tell us?
Many men pointing fingers at me about being this political. Dude, I don't want to listen about.
They pegged you and pointed fingers at you.
They pegged me, and I've been poked and prodded and fingered as a Democrat.
What?
Right?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, I condone it, but I don't want to listen about it. And if
next topic.
I like the way you said that, because typically everybody's saying, I don't condone that.
I do condone it.
I condone that. People don't usually say, I condone this behavior.
He's so angry about it, too. I condone it.
I'm Michael Winner, and I condone gay sex.
I got into this box before.
I just don't want to watch it.
You know, remember?
Now you're in the box.
I'm back in there again, and we're having such a fun show.
But you like the box.
You know, nobody felt trapped or put into a box until right now on this episode, right?
Right.
So, hey, do you want to hear about TV show number 5?
Can you hear about One More Show?
I can hear about One More Show. That's about all I can take out of this damn show.
The Other Two.
Well, it's been a TV show. The what?
The Other Two on Comedy Central, created by two former SNL scribes.
I've never heard of it.
Me neither. The Other Two is a laugh-out-loud TV comedy about underachieving, self-sabotaging millennials and their cool normie Gen Z brother who writes the best and dumbest pop songs on the planet. The adult siblings of the teenage viral singing sensation flail in the wake of their brother's newfound fame, leading to plenty of comedic soul-searching and scene-stealing smaller parts, including the manager played by Ken Marino. Next.
Comedy Central is still a station. I thought it was just the South Park.
The place you go for your South Park.
Yeah, it was South Park. That's it.
The only person, I just looked it up while you were talking about it, the only person I recognize is Molly Shannon.
Well, that's no reason to watch a TV show.
No, I don't like Molly Shannon much. Drew Tarver.
Why don't you like Molly Shannon?
I think she's super annoying.
Wow.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. She's not that good.
Okay.
Lodge 49 on AMC.
I've watched
Anybody heard of that?
Yeah, I've watched it. It's pretty good.
I'm learning that I don't watch enough TV, obviously, because I haven't heard of any of these.
How about Succession on HBO?
Seen every episode.
Never heard of it.
Me neither. Well, I think I heard of it, but I definitely haven't seen it. In just 20 episodes over two seasons, the Roy clan has become one of the most compelling, hilarious TV families ever. It can even rile the Bluths and the Lannisters.
The Bluths.
See, that's another show I haven't watched.
Arrested Development?
I never got into that.
Wow, that's
I know.
Really...
I've
never seen it.
We're totally squares serious? For not watching Arrested Development.
I've never seen it.
Wow.
But... Yeah.
Okay.
Season 2 gave us incredible heaps of Roy drama with a season-long crisis culminating in a supremely awkward yacht voyage, as well as more Tom Wamsgans and Cousin Greg action.
I like how you murder everybody's name.
But the real victory for the series writer is getting us to care about each of these truly reprehensible assholes.
They are.
Interesting.
It's a good show.
We only got two shows left on the list.
Okay.
The OA... On Netflix?
Horse shit.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Horse shit.
The second and likely final season of Britt Marling and Zal Zal Batmanlig's esoteric sci-fi drama was a revelation, converting season one's compellingly hokey tale about self-discovery and interdimensional travel into a breathtaking batshit indelible, addictive work of art that should appeal to any fan of The Lost, The Leftovers, and Twin Peaks, The Return. That was quite a mouthful of a sentence.
Inescapable horseshit.
You will never look at an octopus the same way again.
Absolutely horrible.
It sounds bad.
Octopus?
Yeah.
No,
I don't.
Terrible.
I don't want anyone to change the way I see octopuses.
Terrible.
Yes.
Garbage.
Okay, finally, the number one show on some website that shall remain nameless. Watchmen on HBO.
Excellent.
This
never seen it.
Me neither. This loose continuance.
You have HBO. I gave you my code. How could you?
Because I've never watched it. I don't have that much time. I spend all my time down here doing things like dishes and laundry.
Right.
Yeah, that's what my wife makes me do in my basement too.
Uh-huh.
Season 1, 9 episodes, this loose continuance of Alan Moore's graphic novel was far better than it had a right to be. It had no right to be this good. And held together through the satisfying conclusion.
It's a compelling, great show.
So we all know we maybe should be watching The Watchmen and Succession, but not the OA.
No. No. Run away.
Great. Well... That's informative.
The other show on Netflix that I suggest you watch, another good one, is The Comiskey Method. I thought The Comiskey Method was really good.
You know, I listened to a good podcast about disco demolition at the Comiskey ballpark a few months back. I highly recommend that. I think you can find it wherever you find episodes of Wisecracking with Winter.
Why do you like The Comiskey Method so much? I mean, what is it?
I think that it mixes comedy and real world situations.
Who's in it?
Ugh. Michael Douglas and that other old dude. What's his name? Who are the old people? It's about old guys. I mean, that's what it's about. People that are closer to your age.
Jack Lemmon? Walter Matthau? Well,
they're both dead. No.
All right. Now I have to look it up.
Al Pacino?
Why am I always looking everything up?
Robert De Niro?
It's about a guy
Fred Astaire.
Who teaches
Gene Kelly.
Fred Astaire. Ginger Rogers.
Oh, is it Paul Newman?
I'm not loading here.
Paul Newman's dead.
He died a long time ago.
What about Humphrey Bogart?
What is his name?
I forgot.
Okay, here we go. Cast of the Comiskey Method. We've got a lot of famous. We've got Michael Douglas, Alan Arkin.
Oh, yeah, he's old.
We have Paul Reiser is in it.
Getting old.
Jane Seymour. Old. Susan Sullivan.
Don't know her.
Lots of famous people. And
may or may not know them.
Here, let me just pull up the overview so I don't get it wrong. You keep shoving that thing in my face. You need to stop. I don't want it to touch my lips.
There's a lot of cameos in your show.
Yes, there are a ton of cameos in
What's it about?
Show. It says he may be in his twilight years, but aging acting coach Sandy Comiskey isn't ready to ride off into the sunset just yet. The once famous Comiskey and his longtime agent, Norman Newlander, keep each other laughing as they tackle the curveballs that life throws them while navigating their later years. In Los Angeles, a city that values youth and beauty. So that's what it's about.
Don't we all?
Yes. Mike likes it. He kind of feels it.
Isn't that your new city slogan, Minneapolis, a city that values
youth and beauty.
That and salt.
Isn't that what you're... Was that your
road salt. We really value road salt and beauty and youth.
Bullshit.
Is that a wrap? I don't feel like I've learned anything.
I don't know. You wanted to... I thought you wanted to tell us your worst shows. Or our worst
How
shows.
How about if I cut out and leave you two to talk about your worst shows because, you know.
Are we running out of time? I'm
getting there. How about, before you go, you tell us about Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Realty.
Oh, God.
You do a commercial and then you may go.
Oh, now I have to get permission? All right. So there's this dude.
Beats staying in the basement all night.
It does.
No.
The only reason I get to go home is because I have a sick kid.
Aww.
Yeah. So.
What?
Thanks for making me come up with a Paul Lambie commercial because
I
have to do
it. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, but you're sitting right across from me.
I mean, you just talk about Paul Lambie. You know him.
I do over at Carpenter Realty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, while Paul's here, now would be the great time to move to Indianapolis because.
Yeah, no shit.
Excuse me.
I'm playing Big G sound effects to help
I heard that. My commercial is pretty shit the way it is.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should actually have Paul Lambie do his Paul Lambie commercial because how often does he get to be in studio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in studio instead of being in the great, beautiful city of Indianapolis.
So I think maybe we need to send some more business your way so that you don't have time to travel all the way to Minneapolis.
Give us the scenario on why you would want to live there and why you'd be buying the house. I do it every week.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. What's the scenario that you would be buying a house in Indianapolis and needing the services of Paul Lambie? You know Paul Lambie. He's over there at Carpenter Real Estate. So... why?
Okay. Let's say you work for this asshole who has this little podcast and you're stuck in his basement and you need to run and you need to run away fast in the middle of the night so that he doesn't catch you. There's no place else to go but Indianapolis. And Indianapolis, Paul?
Pardon?
Whoa!
What?
Because he cares. Paul Lambie over at Paul Lambie Realty. because he cares. He listens to all of your needs, unless you're doing a commercial.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you ask him.
The big
go.
G stepped on you there, so I
big
G's hear you.
An ass too.
Yeah.
Anyway, Paul, could you help somebody like that poor girl stuck in?
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to escape captivity below ground and get to a place where, you know, you can hide out, buy yourself a house, and start over, I'm the guy that can help you.
Could you find me a small place? I mean, this girl who's trying to get away, could you find her a smaller place, like a townhome maybe?
Townhome, detached home, country villa, downtown condominium. We got you all covered.
No.
Does it help with name changes?
I got a guy for that.
All right. Perfect.
Right.
So then I think that this poor girl needs to go hunt you down in Indianapolis. Paul Lambie.
Absolutely.
Great.
You know,
I'll send your info to her.
Runaways from other states are among my top 10 referral clients. So always think of me when you have a friend who's trying to escape from one state or another for whatever reason. We don't ask questions why you're coming to Indianapolis. We just embrace you with open arms and find you one of our many available homes.
That's right. It's Paul Lamb. You know Paul Lamb. He's over there at Carpenter Real Estate, right? You know him. He's sitting in there right now. He's staring at the wall, waiting for somebody to call him.
Except for he's sitting here in the studio in the basement.
When he's not here, though, he's sitting in his desk by himself playing Sudoku. That's Paul Lambie, Carpenter Real Estate. Okay, now we're going to get into the worst two TV shows that we think you should not watch at all. And for me, it's a really easy choice, ladies and gentlemen. That show is a horrible piece of crap. That's on Netflix, and it's called October Faction. Have you heard of it, Paul?
I haven't.
It's the worst. It's based on some half-ass Rudy Poot comic book that I don't think anybody read. You know, comic books are all the rage. I mean, they're making TV shows out of comic books left and right.
Mm-hmm.
October Faction. Monster Hunters Fred and Dolores Allen tangle with evil. And family drama with their teenage twins based on the comic book. It's on Netflix and is freaking wretched. It's so politically correct. Like, at one scene, the husband and wife duo go into a restaurant and they call somebody out that's a monster, and they use a politically incorrect term, and then like somebody in the cafe corrects them, and then they agree that they were wrong to say it that way. It's just wretched. There's like this horrible family drama. You don't care about the family at all. You don't care about the husband and wife team at all. You don't care about the monsters at all. I got through one episode of this and decided it could be the worst show I've ever seen on Netflix. For some reason, it's 79% agree. It got a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes, and then for some reason, it got 79% on Google, which I don't get.
Google's easy,
but Rotten Tomatoes buried it. Thank God. And I hope they do not make a second season of this. So that's mine.
Well, that sounds awful.
It is the worst ever.
You know, there's a lot of bad shows out there. I've been scrolling through a list of the lowest rated shows for each network according to Rotten Tomatoes critics scores. They're splitting up together on ABC. I've actually seen that. It's not very good. The Romanoffs on Amazon, The Sun on AMC, Fam on CBS. Seen it, Mike?
No.
Me neither. Tell Me a Story on CBS All Access. Roswell, New Mexico on the CW.
No.
Proven Innocent on Fox.
No.
Mayans MC on FX.
No.
Ballers on HBO.
Seen
with
it.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, it's HBO, so even their worst show is going to actually be decent, I guess. I haven't seen it.
It's okay.
Into the Dark on Hulu?
That's a series of movies.
Okay. Not
familiar
with it.
I've watched a couple of them. They're okay.
New Amsterdam on NBC. Now, like I say, I haven't seen it, but every time I see the trailers for it, I'm just like, this looks dumb.
What is it about?
Some dreamy doctor in a hospital, I guess.
Ugh.
Inspired by the oldest public hospital in America, this unique medical drama follows the brilliant and charming Dr. Max Goodwin, the institution's newest medical director, who sets out to tear up the bureaucracy and provide exceptional care.
Ugh, puke.
How can he help?
Puke.
Well, yeah. It's got the guy who played the husband of the girl in Blacklist.
Yeah, which was an okay show.
Yeah, he played the husband of the girl who may or may not have been the daughter of Raymond Reddington. I don't know. I quit watching The Blacklist because it just got old for me after about 4 or 5 seasons. But, yeah, I don't. This guy just, I don't see him, like, being all that. Anyway, if I have to settle on what I think is basically the worst show on TV, I got to say it's the Real Housewives of Anywhere. It's just awful. I don't watch it, but occasionally, I'm not going to name anyone, but I walk into a room and they have it on. Because they like to watch it. And I maybe even in the next room and I can't stand it. I want to gouge my eardrums out. I mean, it's just this contrived drama. Women like dressed up like they're all that and just like cursing at each other and acting like their stupid lives matter to someone, I guess. Maybe they do. Not this guy.
What are they even about?
I don't know. They're about... you can't tell because they're on, like... Even though they're on cable, they still bleep out all the bad words. So you only hear about 50% of the actual spoken words. It's just bleeping like crazy.
So it's all a bunch of manufactured arguments.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... Well, I don't know what... Yeah. I mean, they find people who have a proclivity to drama in the first place.
Right.
And then they amp them up with booze and, you know, the promise of stardom if they can become the most interesting housewife of, you know, the lower Red Lake community or wherever they're filming this season. And they go at it, and I don't get what it's about.
Does your wife watch it?
She does. I don't know which ones she watches. I feel like she probably watches all of them. I'm sure she'll tell me. I don't even watch the Real Housewives of Hoboken or Poughkeepsie or Billings, Montana. I don't know. It's all just a bunch of jive to me.
Should we get to what did I learn?
Yeah, what did you learn today? Brought to you.
What did I learn today? Brought to you by your friends over at Carpenter Realty. That's Paul Lambie over there at Carpenter Realty. What did I learn today? I've learned that I've got two great co-hosts, and I should be... I'm very fortunate for them. I love you both. So
we're just guests, but thanks.
Co-hosts.
Oh, that's too much.
I've learned that you shouldn't, you know, kill yourself, as we brought up at the beginning of the episode, right?
Yeah, you did bring that up at the beginning of the episode.
You shouldn't kill yourself.
And I agree.
That's a special message for the show.
I agree. You know, if somebody is feeling down and blue, they should seek out help. And if somebody comes to you and you feel like maybe they need help, you should take it seriously and do what you can. Because nobody should kill themselves. That's what we should strive for.
I learned about a wide variety of shows that I really hadn't given a lot of thought about. Like The Ranch. I had written off the show as a bunch of people that were going for cheap laughs, and had a nice little debate with Veronica about that, and you know, I learned that maybe I should give her another chance. You know, I learned that that people basically have a really wildly diverse taste in television. I've learned that even though Cosby spiked women's drinks and raped them, that we should probably still enjoy his show, like a lot like Roseanne. You know, even though she said some racist things on Twitter, apparently high on Ambien or whatever she said she was on, I think we should still be able to watch their shows for what they are. You know, they were good works of art for the time that they were made in, and we should just ignore whatever dumb ramblings come out of their mouth and still enjoy the shows. I've learned to stay away from Desperate Housewives and never ever watch that show. Paul, did you learn anything?
If I did, I've forgotten it by now.
Did you learn to not kill yourself?
Yeah, I learned that Wisecracking with Winter cares about me as a loyal listener. So, yeah, if you're a loyal listener, there's hope. Another Wisecracking with Winter episode is just around the corner. You don't want to miss that, do you?
Heck no.
Hey, folks, Wisecracking with Winter is on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit? Wow, I didn't know that the show was on Reddit.
Yeah, it's on Reddit.
I mean, the show, you can't download the show, but apparently you can talk about it there, maybe. And to download, well, you know, it's available on all those regular platforms where you normally go to get podcasts. So, like, I don't know, the iTunes podcast type place there. Maybe there's like a Google place for podcasts. You can get it right there on the website, getwisecracking.com. And hey, if you'd like to support the show because you really enjoy what's coming at you, or you're a glutton for punishment, or whatever, what have you, whatever your thing is, we're not here to judge. You can go to Ko-fi and buy Mike a figurative cup of coffee. Maybe he'll literally spend the money on coffee, but more than likely, he'll use it to upgrade his equipment to bring you a better sounding podcast in the future. That's ko-fi.com/wisecracking. Just go to ko-fi.com and search Wisecracking with Winter and buy Mike a cup of Ko-fi.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You have a great night.
Where'd you get that?